Hello, I'm Stephanie Gillard, the Producing Artistic Director at American Stage. Welcome to Spotlight, the American Stage podcast, where we illuminate the artistry and ideas behind the stories. Hey there, I'm Sadie Lockhart, the Community Engagement Associate at American Stage. This new series will feature our new summer shorts series, where each week we bring you trivia and cocktail recipes pre-show and a performance of two short pieces of theater, followed by a chat back with the playwrights and cast. Today's episode features a short play entitled Pick Me Up by Rachel Lynette and Indelible by John Bravoso. We will share with you an excerpt from each play, followed by a conversation that takes a deeper dive with the playwrights into these pieces and the exciting, challenging, and dynamic world of live virtual theater. This first clip that you will hear is from the play Pick Me Up by Rachel Lynette. A student meets her teacher in a hotel room, and they learn about each other in ways they never thought possible. Through honest introspection and examining their truths in the world, they reach an understanding of their unique struggles.
Anyway, I know your name. I just didn't know
my face.
You know, my dad had high expectations of me too.
Yeah.
I mean, he still does. He's not a bad dad, just high expectations.
I sit 6 row, 5 seats over because that's my birthday.
That hard talking about your dad, huh?
Yes.
So June 5th, Gemini.
Yep. You?
Sagittarius.
That makes sense.
Does it?
He's not a great person.
Your father?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
You know, we could still have sex if you want.
I don't want.
Oh.
Not because you're my student, that's just, I mean, you paid me, so I guess I...
Oh, I was kidding. I mean, I wasn't completely kidding, but I'm not going to make you have sex with me.
Thank you.
I want you to fail me.
What?
I want to fail your class.
Then fail it.
No, I can't. I'm not that sort of person.
What sort of person?
I count my breaths. I sit in the exact same seat every day. I do my homework before I do anything else. I'm not the kind of person who just fails.
I can't just fail you. I fail you and your father swoops down on us like him.
Which is why I think my teachers are just passing me because they're afraid of my dad.
What?
I should not be 8 in your class. I should not be acing constitutional law. I can't even spell constitutional without having to think a little too hard about all the stupid vowels in it.
Oh my God. You're right. There are so many. I never realized that. Okay, nope. No E. No Y, but wait. Does Y count in this weird little complex you've created? I'm not going to be the one to fail you. Not the only one. And I don't even grade your papers, so if you're just being passed through, it's not me that's doing it.
Did my dad pay you?
What?
Did he pay you to pass me?
It's torts. I highly doubt that he'd bribe your torts professor. It's not ethics or tax law. It's, this one time a woman tried to sue her dog.
I actually really like tort law.
Yeah, it's because we're judgy.
What?
The only people that like tort law are judgy people who like making fun of other people.
That's harsh.
I said we're judgy.
I'm having a hard time believing I'm actually passing law school.
from what I hear, you're actually really clever. Professor Knight says you're surprisingly brilliant.
Surprisingly?
Hey, you're the one surprised you're passing.
I thought I'd bomb law school, like, magnificently.
Then bomb it. Just stop. Wait. I know. Not your style.
So, do you like sleeping with people?
I was already pretty promiscuous and not exactly selective to begin with.
But at least you got to choose before.
Not literally. It was anyone who was around.
Yeah, I have self-esteem issues too.
I don't have self-esteem. It's not that simple.
You said nothing's that complicated.
I did.
So you're seriously not gonna fail me.
Who was the professor that you slept with?
What?
The one that made you sign the non-disclosure.
I don't...
Was it Professor Knight?
I don't know.
Well, that makes sense. 60.
Okay, but he's a hot almost 60.
Thought you were gay.
No one's that gay. Have you seen him?
You know, I slept with him when I was a 3L.
Seriously?
Yeah. He was the one that gave me this idea to do this.
Really?
Yeah, he even connected me with the agency.
He's sort of
predatory and horrible.
Yes.
But he's tenure.
Yeah. And friends with my dad, so.
Oh, that's kind of gross.
Yeah, I'm literally breaking my non-disclosure just mentioning it. So.
Oh, he had me sign one too. They're full of shit, barely legally binding. It's just something to scare the dumb young, to scare people.
I'm just gonna have to quit law school, aren't I?
Yeah, you are.
I don't even know what I want to do.
I thought I wanted to be a professor. I graduated second in my class. I worked at a legal clinic, and then I got my dream job. And now I'm a prostitute and a professor. No one knows what they want to do.
You're not a prostitute, and I shouldn't have called you a whore. What you do is classy. It's an escort.
Call it what you want, but it's still just having sex for money. And the problem is I actually make really good money doing it.
If I quit law school, could we, like, date? It was just a question.
I'm a decade older than you.
I slept with Professor Knight. I literally do not care.
Yeah, but I care.
And, like, 9 years older?
That's essentially a decade.
How do I even quit?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out myself. Look, my divorce isn't finalized yet, and I'm still your teacher.
Yeah. I'll ask you again in a couple.
We'll figure out how to quit together.
My dad will be so pissed if I just quit. That's why I wanted to... I have no idea how to do this.
Well, look, come find me in a couple of months, and maybe I can make it all up to you.
Surprisingly brilliant.
Yeah.
This next piece is from Indelible by John Bovoso. A pair of lovers are arguing over tattoos and commitment issues when suddenly the scene takes an unexpected leap. What happens when one is on board and the other wants to jump ship?
So, what do you think?
Oh my god.
Oh my God, is that
I know the heart is a little cheesy, but I thought about getting an anatomically correct one, but
please tell me that is temporary.
Only in the sense that all human beings are temporary.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you?
Nothing. What is wrong with you? I thought you'd be flattered.
I mean, how can you do something like this and not discuss it with me first?
It's my body.
It's my name.
That you share with like a million other people.
Oh, you tatted some other Marcus's name on your arm?
No, of course not. Sit down, please. Just...
Did it hurt?
I mean, not as bad as I thought it would. It was more like a scratch than a stab. Ah, it is a little sore still, but it is a wound, I guess.
Oh my God, I am sorry. I'm just caught off guard here. How long have you been planning this?
Since this morning.
Are you kidding me right now?
What? I've been talking about getting one for years.
Yes. Talking about getting one, as in you bring it up after a couple of glasses of wine, talk through some ridiculous designs, and then forget about it for like 6 months.
I don't know what to tell you. I woke up this morning and decided today was the day. I still didn't know what I wanted to get, so I decided I'd just make a game time decision when I got there, which is what I did.
So this is a game for you.
Okay. In the last 2 years, I've gotten pretty used to your outsized reactions to relatively minor situations, but I was genuinely not expecting this.
This reaction is completely rational. I mean, did you even stop to think for even a minute about what kind of position this puts me in?
Your position remains unchanged, as far as I can tell.
Oh my God, I can't even breathe. I feel like the walls are pressing in on me. Wait. Is this your way of proposing to me?
What? No! And if it were, this would be going very poorly.
Well, I mean, you might as well be. This is a huge commitment.
Yeah, between me and my epidermis.
I mean, how am I supposed to, with my name on your body,
permanent? How are you supposed to what?
I mean, I feel like I'm trapped.
Trapped? Wait, are you talking about leaving me?
Only theoretically.
Well, so you're theorizing about ending our relationship?
No, I mean, no, not any more than usual.
Oh, so it's a regular occurrence to fantasize about breaking up with us.
Well, it sounds terrible when you say it like that.
How do I say something like that without it sounding terrible exactly?
Look, Preston, it's not that I want to break up with you. If anything, that terrifies me, actually.
So terrifying you spend a not so insignificant amount of time thinking about it?
I don't know how to, it's like a talisman, kind of. Look, I'm always super paranoid. I always think about everything before something bad happens and I make a plan to avoid it. Like for example, I'm always super paranoid about the apartment burning down. So I take a picture of the dials on the stove before I leave for work every morning.
Seriously? So what was your big plan to avoid us breaking up?
Well, a key component was you never finding out that I think about it constantly.
And finally, our Associate Artistic Director, Kristen Clippard, leads the cast and playwright in a conversation about the production.
We're so happy that you joined us for this fourth night of New Shorts. And right now I'm going to invite our playwrights and director to come on out and join me on the virtual stage. My name is Kristen Clippard. I'm the Associate Artistic Director here. And man, what a night. These plays just keep getting better and better. Hi, John. Welcome. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We're so pleased that you were able to come and talk with us about these shows. The artists will come out and join us in just a moment. So I'd like to start off by just giving the audience a little introduction into who you are, and tell us where you're coming to us from right now. Where are you in the world? And tell us how you've been involved at American Stage before. And I would also love to ask Rachel and John to just say a couple of words about what inspired these pieces in particular tonight. So Brian, would you like to start us off?
Yes, I'm Brian Balcom. I directed both pieces, and I am currently in Chicago, Illinois, and I was lucky enough to come down and work and direct Viet Gone last season at American Stage.
And Rachel?
Hi, I'm Rich Lynette. I'm the playwright for Pick Me Up. I am currently in Madison, Wisconsin. And what inspired me to write this play? I really wanted to explore what does it mean to be stuck in a situation and how do you get out of it? And that's kind of what kicked off the play for me.
Great, great. And we should mention that Rachel was a part of our 21st Century New Voices in 2018 previously, and John was here with us this year in 2020.
Yes, hi. My name is John Bavoso. I wrote Indelible. I am currently in my tiny studio apartment in Washington, D.C. And yes, I was a part of this year's festival. I was down in Florida about a week before I couldn't go anywhere. So it was one of the last things I did before lockdown. So,
dang, that rude pandemic, I swear. Anyhow, here we are, and we're so pleased. I would like everybody out there watching to know that these playwrights have generously said, please take this work and do what you will, as we're all in a really, really rough patch right now. Theaters across the country are struggling to make ends meet as we can't put on shows, and therefore there's no revenue. So we're so thankful to you for your generosity, and we'll count on your generosity at home as well. So so John and Rachel, I'm very curious to ask you a question about the short form. We've been learning a lot about what does it mean to a playwright to have the opportunity to write a mini play, right? A shorter play. So can either of you speak to what it is? What does it do for you in your craft to have the chance to write something that's so short and concise? Don't all talk
about one. Okay. I'll go first. For me, short plays are really fun. I think they're a great way to, you know, explore an idea that maybe either isn't ready or wouldn't support like a full length play. You know, I mean, I have 10 minute plays that literally were inspired by tweets or by songs or, you know, just like jokes that I kind of built into full. And I always say they're a great way to procrastinate working on full length plays that I'm supposed to be working on, so.
Yeah, how about you, Rachel?
Yeah, I really struggle with this form. I really struggle with short form. I write plays pretty quickly, so long form is just easier for me. It takes about the same amount of time. So what I like about this form, though, is it lets you be a lot more specific. You get to like zone in a lot more and a lot faster. The movement's a different pace, and so I like that. But it's really hard for me because I'm constantly like, oh, but I could make this a full length. Oh, but this could be so much longer. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a fun form and it's a good challenge when I need to like remember specifics. And I did write this play when I was procrastinating writing another play. So I think that that's probably how many short plays are written.
Aha, it was a side project. I get it. I see the connection now.
Kristen, one of the things I really enjoy about short plays is the efficiency of storytelling. You only have about 10 minutes to create these characters and go on a journey from beginning, middle, and end. And it's one of the things I really enjoy about these pieces is that they are, it forces you to write with an efficiency that you don't necessarily get in a longer form play where you're trying to develop things over time. It's a very quick snapshot.
Right, the necessity of it. I like that you commented on that, Brian. Thank you very much. Hello, artists, welcome. Thank you so much for your work tonight. Very fantastic. Enjoyed it so much. Can I ask you all to introduce yourselves as well? And some of you are making your American Stage debut So that's exciting. We're glad that you're here with us. And just tell us, you know, how what you've done with us before and where you're coming to us from right now. Jessica, do you want to start?
Sure. My name is Jessica Moriton, and this is actually my first time working with American Stage. So I'm super honored. It was really exciting. I live here in Tampa Bay, Florida, in Palm Harbor, and I was most recently in a show at the Straz called Shout.
Great. And Kara?
Yes, hello. I too have made my American Stage debut, although not on a stage, but still today. And I really too. Yeah, I'm new to acting in this area, so this is, yeah, I'm just excited to be able to work with American Stage.
We're so glad that you both were able to join us for this. Ben.
Hi, I'm Benjamin Ismail. You guys know me from here and there, I'm sure, directing and acting and various things. I've been lucky enough to be a part of a lot of stuff this summer, so I'm glad to do this great little fun little short one tonight.
Yeah, in case anyone... Oh, sorry, Ben?
And I'm here in St. Pete.
And woo-hoo. In case anyone missed out last week, Ben directed last week's shorts, which were also a great treat. So, and then Xavier.
Hello, hello, everyone. Thank you for having me again. I am coming to you directly from Puerto Rico. And I was seen last year in Fun Home. That was really fun. And thank you for having me again. And thank you, John, for your words and your script. Thank you.
I think what I love about these two writers here tonight, I think, Rachel, your characters are so deliciously complex. And I think that they're like the most beautiful, tasty onions because you keep peeling back layers on these complex characters. And I think that that's something that you do really well. Have you found that this writing in a short form sometimes as maybe a distraction is helpful to focus on character development, or is it helpful for other things too?
I really love it because I think you get a lot more room to do character development in short plays. It feels like people aren't so, maybe this is just my experience, aren't as concerned with plot as they are in full lengths. Cause like what you hear a lot with full lengths is like, well, how do you keep the audience engaged? And it's like, well, it's 10 minutes. So hopefully they can last 10 minutes. So I actually really love seeing how much of a character I can reveal in a short amount of time. And I think that's a really fun exercise of what all can I give an actor to play with?
Oh, sure. Can you see this play being extended into a full length?
There's a full length version of it.
Yeah. When can I read it?
I can send it to you.
That's exciting to hear that you've continued to take it forward. And I know that you've been very active this summer, producing some other types of theater too. What else have you been up to?
I started a theater company. It's called the Rachel Lynette Theater Company. And so I, over quarantine, I wrote 4 full lengths. And I was like, how am I going to see any of these plays? And so that's when I decided I'll start a company. And so... we've had readings going on every other month. It's been really fun and really exciting and like a nice distraction from, you know, the world. So that's been really great.
I think you're the only person in the world maybe that tried to start a theater company during the pandemic, possibly, maybe.
It feels that way.
And John, I think that one of your strengths as a writer, one of many, is that you are so great at so much humor, and there's so many great zingers that you craft that come out of the humans' mouths like so naturally. Like this couple, they just banter in such a really, really natural way, but it's very, very funny. How are you sort of expanding upon that with the short form, if anything, or focusing on something else?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you so much to Brian and the actors. That was really amazing. I think one of the things I like about short plays is you can kind of, like Rachel said, you can sort of get into it real quick. I think when Brian and I first met to discuss the play, he was just, he very, very kindly and tactfully was like, is there like subtext that I'm like missing? And I was like, no, this is like all text. Like this play is just like people vomiting their text at each other. And I actually love that. And like my full length plays, have a lot of fights in them, and they can sometimes be brutal. And so I wanted to do like a fight, but that was like a lighter fight, I guess, you know, with like a happy resolution. So it was really nice to explore that in this sort of short form, because again, I think a lot of, you know, the piece that we did in March had a, you know, a lot of fights in it that were really fun to write, but weren't necessarily uplifting, to say the least. So yeah, it's just, it's something, you know, I like the sort of back and forth zinger style, and I feel like it works really well, where you just get this one heightened like 10 minutes of these people's lives where like something's been building and they just get to let it out, you know, in 10 minutes, so.
Yeah, there's some, that's great. Well said, John. I think that there's so much value to be had in this forum, and we learned so much. And there's certainly some connections between, you know, between the plays, in that there's these two different sets of people who are trying so desperately to seek love and fulfillment, but they're just having maybe struggling in different ways with how to express it or how to seek it or how to continue on with it in their own rights. Brian, do you want to say, can you say a word about like what it was like to attack these very different kind of plays with two different casts in such a short time?
They are very different plays, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the process a lot because of that. It was refreshing to sort of move back and forth between basically a play where I had on Pick Me Up, I had about 5 pages of table work notes on, and for Indelible, I had maybe about a half. And just working because it allowed me to work on completely different things with the actors. In terms of Pick Me Up, there was a lot of subtext, there was a lot of layers, there were a lot of intentions that weren't spoken, that were you know, things developed over quite a long time. There were things, seeds that were planted in the first couple of pages that didn't develop into the last, a refreshing contrast to go back and forth between that and Indelible, where there was no filter, there was no subtext. That people just said what they felt immediately, the characters weren't even responding to each other. They were just reacting because they were so filled with emotion and urgency. So it was really interesting to go back and forth, both in prep work before rehearsal began and with the actors. And I'm really actually glad that I was working on such plays that offered that variety.
Yeah, I gotta say, like, that's one thing about the director's process that hasn't changed, right? In that we get the opportunity to like dig deep and do the homework and really, 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 really suss out who these people are and what their struggles are and what their arcs are. So I love that you talk about that part of the process, because that's not something that the audience gets to see very often too, but it's very important. And if anybody at home has questions, please feel free to drop them into the chat or the Q&A box. Randall is monitoring that for us. And so I'd like to open it up for our artists now, Jessica, Kara, and Ben, and Zavi, about this experience of doing theater in this format. We've all had to kind of change our styles and adapt to this new way of working. And Jessica and Kara, I would love to hear from you if you have things that you noticed that were quite different or similar.
I mean, I definitely think it was a different experience. I mean, definitely something that was not at all, in my opinion, like, you know, your typical theater experience, typical rehearsal. You know, I found myself really thinking about the character and the topic more. Maybe, I don't know if it was because it was such a short period of time or because, you know, I was really at home. There wasn't anyone around me. And after the fact, it's like, okay, I'm still here. And I felt that I was really in it the whole time, even after rehearsal, just thinking about it and stewing on it and expanding on it more than I would have, you know, going to rehearsal, driving home. You know, I was just here. You're at home. And so you're in your area, you're in your space, and you're just still there. So I really felt into it. I'm so happy to know that there's a more to this play than a full length. I'm so curious because I have a whole story in my head of how this story goes. So I'm happy to know that it goes on.
How about you, Kara? What was it like for you to try to connect with another person in this way?
So very interesting. I agree with Jessica in that you really have to extra focus, because that energy that you just feel when it's live is not, I mean, quite there. Obviously there's energy, but it's not that electricity that you feel between another person and, of course, with an audience there. So really just having to hyper focus my attention and really stay here, because, you know, I'm in the room where I do yoga and like paint. So, you know, I'm not usually doing that on stage. So it's very different, still quite fulfilling though.
Nice. Yeah, it is. You're still getting the heart connection, but you're just kind of missing that physical touch that you would love to have with each
right.
other in those moments.
Exactly.
There's a great question that maybe Ben or Zavi would like to speak to about, do you feel restricted by not being able to move around and having to sit or stand in front of your computer screen?
Do you want to go first, Zavi? You should unmute yourself before you start talking, but yeah.
Sure. First of all, I want to say thank you to American Stage for providing a platform and a space for creators to come together during this time. And to answer Anna's question, I wouldn't call it restriction. I mean, of course, I would love to jump around and move like we do on stage. But no, I didn't feel restricted. The tricky part for me and how I grew as an actor was keeping, you know, acting for the camera, but still trying to keep, like my director Brian encouraged me to do, trying to keep the theatricality of the text on camera. So not confused. It's not a TV show or a movie. We're still doing theater on camera. So keep the stakes up. But no, I wouldn't say I felt restricted. I just allow the space and the box to be my playing space and inform the circumstance, the event happening. And I had a lot of fun.
Ben?
It's really interesting to like be sort of doing this more than once to keep doing it, because the more I do it, the more I refine sort of my space and all that kind of stuff. And what was different about this than anything I've done so far is that Brian really early on said, I want you to stand up. And this was the first thing that I had done in all of these months that was standing up. And I don't know what about it made it so different. Also, we were memorized for this. A lot of the things we've been doing are readings. And so I felt like I was able to connect with Zavi better than a lot of things that I've been doing lately. I think maybe just because all the distractions, I'm starting to get used to it. And the distractions aren't really there as much anymore. So I don't know. There's light at the end of the tunnel. If this is your first one, maybe it's what I'm saying. I don't know.
That's positive. Yes, absolutely. There is progress in small ways. Yeah, I hear you. Rachel, we have a question. There's inquiring minds want to know what happens. What happens to the rest of Pick Me Up? If you don't want to tell us everything, you don't have to, but.
it feels anticlimactic, because so the longer version still takes place in the hotel room. And so in the full length, it's not like something happens after what you see. It's just that what happens in the hotel room is longer. And so you learn more about the professor. That situation gets a lot more complicated, the sort of predatory professor. And you learn a lot more about like Lely and Jenna's dads. So it's where you like learn a lot more about the characters, and the want is a little different of what Jenna actually wants changes. But there's not like the full length doesn't like say like the next day, unfortunately. It's just a lengthened, this moment is just lengthened out.
But that's what's so great about it, is that these two ladies are so so rich and so full in their backstories that we were like hungry to know like what's behind that. I want to know more about that person. Yeah. And what's the name of your theater company?
Mine is the Rachel Lynette Theater Company.
So everybody go and Google the Rachel Lynette Theater Company. So we can share that. All right, so I would like to wrap it up very shortly, but I'll just kind of, I would like to raise one last
question. Kristen, we do have a question in the Q&A about the tattoo.
Oh, yes, we should mention the tattoo. That's a great question, yeah.
How did we create the tattoo? It looks so real.
So, I Brian and the director of production figured it out, and then Randall actually did it. Before we started today, He came over. He said that rats can't carry, so he was fine to be around me. And he did this, and I did his makeup, and that's how we traded for the day.
Excellent.
but that is not indelible, though, is it?
I mean, I'll leave that up to your judgment there.
Thank you for that. And I wanna leave us off by asking the group to say a word about what you miss. Can you talk about what you miss about the theater? Something about it that you just cannot wait to get back to when we're able to be in person again? I would love to hear that.
I miss the human interactions and that the breath you hear from the audience that lets you know they're there with you. They're on that journey with you. That's what I miss. And I'm looking forward to going back to that again.
Yeah, I agree. And just to add on or include something that John said earlier, I can't remember who it was, but the electricity in the room. I mean, there's always that question of like, is live theater dying, or is live theater being supplanted by Netflix or film or whatever? And I think the experiences that we've had over the last few months prove that it is not. I mean, the we are missing something intangible from the experience of being in front of one another. And that's what I miss most. And that's what I'm most excited about getting back to.
Yeah, I would say I miss that thrill, that feeling right before the curtain rises and, you know, you're in that silent moment for like 3 seconds and your heart's palpitating, you know, and you're excited. That I miss that feeling. And then I miss the feeling of being able to see, have your eyes connect with someone in the audience just for that split second and seeing their reaction. That, I mean, that's something I definitely miss. Can't wait to get back.
I really miss, and this is, I guess, more for full length plays, but you know, the 3 or 4 weeks that you spend just intensely getting to know your castmates so well that when you're spitting on each other on stage, you love it and you relish in it. And that's really what I'm missing.
Yeah, I think I actually, I kind of miss the development process, being in the room together. I unfortunately had a conflict, so I wasn't able to join any of these rehearsals, which made me really sad. But when I was down for 21st Century Voices, by far my favorite part was just being in those classrooms for hours on end and just, you know, sitting around and chatting and, you know, being face to face and just sort of talking through things, which you can kind of do on Zoom, but it's just not quite the same. So.
I am. Well, first I want to make sure that I also thank Brian and the actors. They did a really, really great job. And it was really amazing to see the play. What I'm going to say is going to sound like fake news, but what I miss is the beginning of tech. And it's when you see all of the elements coming together. I should say that I'm also a techie, so like, that's probably part of it. But I miss like when all the costumes are present and the lighting is present. And it's like the first time it feels real. Like it's the first time you're like, oh, this is actually going to happen. And there's this feeling that to me isn't, I can't have any other time. But like when you see all the elements come, even for a reading, when like they get the stands, and they're all standing in front of it and they're doing the lights. Like, there's just something really, I don't know, that I just miss that of like, oh, this is real. This is about to happen. And that just cannot happen, unfortunately, yet virtually.
I think all those were such great answers, but like the one thing that still sticks in my mind that I miss the most is the one nameless individual that sits like just over here and cannot hold it together during the show. Just, yes, you tell, yes, preach. Like just, there's one person that can't keep it together the whole play, laughing louder than everybody else and just living for the show. I miss that person.
These were such great answers. I know, I second all of it. I miss opening nights and I miss, like Kara said, the social bonding that happens, just like going out for a beer or something after a rehearsal and just getting to know each other on a personal level. So yeah, we'll take this for now, but we're looking forward to the future. So thank you so much to John and to Rachel, especially for sharing your beautiful words with us tonight. Brian, thank you for bringing it all to life for us. To our artists, Jessica, Kara, Ben, and Zavi, we appreciate you all so, so very much. And thank you to our audience especially. We're so glad that you could come and join us tonight. Again, please consider giving us a donation. We're trying to make everything accessible this summer. And come back and check us out for our last new shorts next Thursday. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you all so much for joining us today. We are thrilled to bring you this virtual short series for the rest of July. You can visit our website to register to see our next production each Thursday at 8 p.m. And as always, we want to hear from you. Which new shorts play has been your favorite so far and why? You can email us at podcasts@americanstage.org or like our Facebook page to join in on the conversation.
Thank you for joining Spotlight, the American Stage podcast. For more American Stage programs and news, visit americanstage.org.